The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. There's an old adage that says, are you a glass half empty or a glass half full kind of person? And as it is with pithy sayings that you maybe learned from your grandmother, as it is with mythology and with practical opinion, sometimes it's actually a faithful representation of what is actually said in God's Word. And that's what St. Paul was getting after in his epistle to the church in Corinth, the second epistle, when he said those words, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Everything has to do with your mindset. How you think of yourself, how you think of your God, and especially today, how you think of Him as your Heavenly Father, who provides you all things that you need for your body and life, as you learn in the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Does God provide for you everything that you need? Does He fill you, the hungry, with good things? Does He send the rich empty away? Does He love a cheerful giver? Does He make all grace abound to you? Does He give you all sufficiency in all things? That's the kind of glass half full perspective, isn't it? Really, glass completely full and overflowing. Or perhaps you prefer the mindset of always thinking in terms of scarcity, that God is like the German or the one who went through the Great Depression and is stingy, or that's the negative word. What is it? Miserly? No, that's negative too. Frugal. There's the word. That God is frugal, that He only gives the absolute minimum that you require. Yes, the glass is half empty. Yes, you have the glass, and it does have what you need, but it's never enough. It's never quite what you think God ought to give to you. And so it is that your understanding of who you are, who God is, and especially who God is as a giver God, it's really important. It's not just a mindset. It's actually a matter of faith. It's a matter of understanding who God is and who God is for you. And this applies to every realm of your life, every station and vocation, as Luther calls them. As a nation, there are those in this country, even now, who believe that we have fallen short of any of the ideals that were set forth at our founding as a nation. We remain terrible people who don't take care of the poor, who don't protect the weak, who remain, what would you say, racist, systematically so. That's that scarcity mindset. Rather than look at all the ways that God has provided for this nation and the way that in reality this nation is the culmination of 4,000 years of attempts at freedom, some more or less successful, it is really the best attempt. And that's not our doing, that's God's providence, as the founders of the country recognized. See, you can understand in terms of scarcity how little or how we have fallen short of what we would hope to be. Or you can look and say, look at how much that God has actually provided for us and what protections He has afforded. Ethan, Gabriel, the amplifier is down at the bottom of the rack. There's a switch, power switch, if you want to hit that. We don't need the bells. Just give it a minute. Well, maybe he got the right switch. We'll see. Or it'll just finish. So it is. All right. So, again, that's in regards to the state. How about in your family? Some of you are older, and you can look back at your life, and you can see how God has provided for you, that He took care of you, that He was actually quite generous in supporting you, even through times of thick and thin, through times of sickness and times of great need, that He guided you through, and He actually provided you more than you even could have expected or hoped for. And the same goes for the congregation. It's easy to think today, well, I can remember a day when Thanksgiving service was twice as large and there was twice as many people. And we were able to sustain a larger staff and there were more children and all the ways that we think of the glass half empty. Rather than give thanks to God that he has preserved this place and the ministries that we've engaged in, that he continues to provide for us. And actually, the gifts that our ancestors, the parents of this congregation, have handed forward to us are wonderful gifts to cherish and to maintain, to preserve. Thanks be to God. And so St. Paul said, each one must give as he has made up his mind. Be mindful. Are you thinking in terms of scarcity? Or are you thinking in terms of abundance? Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because God is able to make all grace abound to you, all good giving, if you like. So that having, he says it a couple times here, one very particular word, all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. That's Paul's confession of faith. That's what God would have you believe, that he gives to you everything you need for every time and in every place. Always. It's hard to believe sometimes, but it's the truth. And it's only recognizing in the way that God has provided for you, that he has given to you, that you are at all capable of providing or caring for those whom he has given to you to care for, whether it be your family, your neighbors, this congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, or it be our neighbors in the community as we're generously supporting the food bank, or even more broadly speaking. All of that is actually a fruit of faith, a fruit of this mindset of understanding yourselves and understanding your God, not in terms of scarcity, how little you have, but rather in terms of how much you've been given. And so Paul continued, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all your generosity, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. So having been given all and having believed that God will provide all, that changes your heart, changes the way you understand not only yourself, your God, but even your neighbor. So that if you see your neighbor in need, you believe that God will provide what is needed to support them. Rather than storing up all your wealth in barns for a rainy day that you can't take with you anyway on the last day, God provides for you so that you may care for others. And having this change of heart and having this generosity for all, whether they be brothers and sisters in Christ or your neighbors in this world, God gives you opportunity for thanks. It's a thanks that comes from his giving to you and your giving to others. It's also a thanks that flows from the way that you've been given to by God and the way that others have provided for you in times of need. Thanks is recognition of who is the giver and who gives every good gift, which of course is God himself. But you could do this every day. You could celebrate and give thanks to God every day. Actually, you should. I believe even our catechism would have you pray after each meal, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever." But note, steadfast love endures forever. That directs you back to the congregation, directs you back here, where God provides for you, not just for your body, but for you, we would say, spiritually, for your soul, for your whole being. Because here he feeds you with what he calls bread from heaven. That's his holy word. Here he nourishes you with springs of living water that quench that thirst for righteousness that is to be forgiven. Here he feeds you with his body and blood, which he calls, again, food from heaven. Food that strengthens you for this journey. Food that actually proves to you God's great love for you and dying for you to forgive you of your sins. Food that will strengthen and nourish you for difficult days ahead, but especially food that and drink that provides for you that you trust in him in all things, even when your last day comes. God is a cheerful giver himself. That's his very nature. He is a giver God. That's how he expresses his love for you. And it's more than just providing for your body and life, although that's true too. But especially in providing for you the gift of his son and the forgiveness that he purchased and won for you. That gift which he distributes to you here today freely in a cup that overflows, in abundance, without end. It's his love in Jesus Christ, and your sins are forgiven. For all this, let us give thanks to Jesus in his holy name. Amen.